Welcome to Sources from the Sofa podcast. We got the full lineup tonight. Myself, Rome, we got Jason, as well as Aaron Hollywood Toller, who killed it this weekend for college football. 4 out of 6 upsets, which was pretty miraculous. It was awesome. It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend of football. Close games, lots of upsets. The morning games for the NFL were phenomenal, as well as the Sunday night game. Monday night, we're recording on Monday night, so this will air on Tuesday. It was an ugly game. It was uneventful. It was terrible. Did not see the Rams coming out that flat, but much props to Dolphins, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, big one for the Dolphins. Like you mentioned, Rome, Rams just came out flat. Left a lot on the table, given the fact that the 49ers, Cardinals won this week. Seattle on a bye week. Rams kind of can stay even with those teams, stay a game above 500 with a victory. Unable to really get anything going offensively, 0-for-2 in the red zone, 5 field goals. They make a field goal, get penalized on it for a false start, move back 5 yards. He ends up missing it wide right. And, you know, 6 possessions they really should have scored points on, and none of them touchdowns. Turnovers, too. Just really the Rams kind of, you know, beat themselves. But give Miami a lot of credit. They kept fighting. And Tua finally got a win back in his third start.
Yeah, Rams definitely just couldn't put it in, you know. They were teasing us, trying to put the ball in the end zone, but they just couldn't get it done, man. They got stopped on third base every single time. Pretty crazy.
Crazy, but I think you really buried the lead here, Rome. If Aaron Toler puts you on upset alert, you better start reevaluating your game plans on a Saturday for college football coaches across America. Because I don't know if anyone's calling 4 out of 6 upsets. I was going through all day Saturday as college finals were going on. Did Aaron call this upset? Old Miss, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech. Just one after another, man. You got to be scared if Aaron puts you on upset alert.
I'm trying to find the...
Definitely. And Virginia Tech, you know, got off to a 7-0 lead. Texas Tech, 13-0 early second quarter over Colorado. They just couldn't sustain it. But, 4 to 6 outright dogs winning, starting with Rome's UCLA on Friday.
Dude,
They didn't listen.
Game. We're a really good 4-win team. Like, this is a solid team right here. I know, Jason, you're just stuck on the record, man. But it's a really tough UCLA Bruin team. Looking really good in that baby blue. Deshaun Foster wearing all that all-black UCLA jacket. They came out playing tough. We're back.
Listen,
we're doing something.
First impressions mean everything to me. So your first impression this year is UCLA struggling in Hawaii.
Oh,
so
they sucked.
That's never going to get out of my head for UCLA the rest of the year. I'm going to be biased on that.
People can't grow. People can't evolve throughout the season.
Hawaii's grown too. They took UNLV to the wire, got stopped on a 2-point conversion, I believe, to lose that game. 29-27. Hawaii's gotten better too, but yeah, I mean, UCLA. I told Rome, I put UCLA on upset alert when we were in Vegas for Hawaii. He was a little nervous. He was scared going into that game.
You did. Yeah, you kind of gave me the... All right, let's briefly talk about your upsets then. So you got the UCLA upset, GT as well.
GT as well. You know, Jason's been calling for Mario Cristobal for him to have that letdown game. We knew it was coming.
They should have had 3 losses already.
Yeah.
Get them out of there.
3 losses. I mean, Miami's very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs, that they seem like they're going to lose games, but when, unfortunately, that luck run out against the mighty GT Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They finally got stung. You called... actually, you could just go over them real quick, Aaron. And you're pretty close on the Notre Dame Florida State game as well. Off by just a touchdown.
I'll get into that one. Let me go over the upsets first before we get to... Kansas, you mentioned Kansas. I said they were going to beat Iowa State. Kansas is the best. You talk about UCLA being the best 4-win team. Kansas was the best 2-win team coming in this weekend. I like Kansas a lot despite being 2-6. I knew they were going to upset Iowa State. Texas Tech didn't get it done. Like we mentioned, 13-0 lead early. Mississippi, I got them better than Texas. Many people won't, but I think Mississippi's better than Texas. I know Rome will disagree with that. I was not surprised they upset Georgia. I like that one coming in. And what other upsets did we have?
Yeah, UCLA, Kansas, UCLA, GT, yeah. Texas Tech, Ole Miss.
We hit Ole Miss. We did lose Virginia Tech against Clemson.
Okay. That's right.
And we lost Texas Tech, Colorado.
Texas Tech, yeah. The Red Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you're giving him all this praise for his Notre Dame call out, though. All right. He clearly, you know, said, what was it? It'd be 50-10, and he was so off with Notre Dame winning 52-3 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State was getting ready to go in for a touchdown, but they wanted Notre Dame to get that 50 burger, so a pick six there towards the end got them over the top. Yeah. But I think I did mention that was the bet of the year, Notre Dame minus 25.
At the half, they barely missed that, right?
Well,
they got up by 23 in the half.
Yeah, it was 21-3. I thought they would be covering by halftime, but it was pretty darn close.
Close.
I said the over 42.5 was a lock because Notre Dame would get that themselves, which they did.
That was a hell of a lock, dude. Did you watch the game?
I did watch all of it.
You did?
I had it on far to the right, and every time I looked up, I just seen Florida State either punting or getting sacked.
Just want to torture yourself.
I watched that one.
That's crazy, man.
I'll be honest. They had me worried in the first quarter because Notre Dame came out swinging, and it was 7-0, and then all of a sudden it was at 7-3. Yeah. They're at a point, and we're through the first quarter. I'm like, I don't know, man. I was like, this might be tight right now. I'm getting a little nervous.
Hey, I was getting ready to pull the jinx and text you guys and be like, Jason, this is the best Florida State has looked since week one against Georgia Tech. And then all of a sudden, it just went all downhill. I'm like, thank God I didn't send that text because this is what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but I was keeping track of the score. And you're right, the first quarter was close. I'm like, oh, man, is Aaron going to be happy?
Even the NBC announcers were like, wow, this Florida State team is looking really good. They don't look like the 134th ranked offense in the league.
And then that was it. It was like, who did I jinx? Was it this is past
Cincinnati,
week, right?
Bengals.
No, that's the right. Bengals.
Oh, man. I was so pissed about that one. Yeah. I don't like shooting out texts like that. I don't like pre-talking shit unless I'm really confident. I was like, I don't know about this one, but that was a fun weekend. All right, cool. Let's get started with the NFL. Lots of close games, man. They're all pretty exciting. Ravens over the Bengals, 35-34. That was wild. You had Sunday night, Lions versus Texans, 5 interceptions from Goff, which you haven't seen ever. And I don't think there's been like too many games where like you've had 5 interceptions and you can still win the game. 26-23. That field goal as time expired barely squeezed in. Like it felt like it like grazed the yellow paint. It was so close. Chiefs over the Broncos. I was so happy to see the Broncos. You know, they played really well in that game. Manhandled the Chiefs, and of course a blocked fucking field goal as time expired. Like whatever fucking bullshit juju is going on over there, I just don't fucking get it. And they win another fucking game. It's like it just never ends, man. I was just so defeated. Maybe not as defeated as other fans, but
that's the jinx you can't call. You're calling for this jinx every week.
I am. It's not working. I'm gonna like stop going against the Chiefs. Maybe I should do the opposite. You know,
this is the week. Buffalo. They Chiefs own Buffalo, man. So you got to take the Chiefs, right, Rome?
Yeah,
got to. A little more psychology.
Steelers over the Commanders. That was a good game. That was close. I was kind of upset actually with Wilson. I didn't like some of his throws. He held the ball a little too long. But man. Pulled out the victory. That was another field goal as well as time expired, right? 28-27.
Yeah. No, you had the late TD to Mike Williams of all people.
Oh, dude, that was nice. He extended the play. That was beautiful, man.
And
it
then
was
you had
the
fourth down stop of Zach Ertz missing that first down by literally 6 inches, maybe a foot.
Yeah, it was definitely inches. Yeah, it was a close call, man. That was great. So lots of close games. I think finally, let's do like biggest losses, right? I kind of want to start off there. Jets losing to the Cardinals. They came out flat. They didn't even come out to fly. They landed their jets. They left them in New York or wherever the hell they're at. Didn't even show up. Cardinals manhandled them. Back-to-back victories, really convincing victories from the Cards. And now they're favored by, I think, odds are 54% to win the West, which is wild. I'm not counting out the 49ers yet. they inched out with the win as well. Did we mention that over the Bucks? So Jets' biggest loss, we can finally cross them off our growing list of teams. Bengals, that was a tough loss, man. They're so good. Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, I think they combined for, what, 800 yards in the air in their two games against the Ravens and still come up with W's. Like, they just can't stop anybody. And give Lamar Jackson props. Like, this guy, I know Josh Allen might be my favorite. I think he's, like, quarterback one for me in the league, but it might be Lamar Jackson, then Josh Allen, Mahomes, however you want to rate it. But let's start from there.
Yeah, I think we talked about this game on the Thursday pod, I think, as we were recording, but the Bengals are interesting, kind of where they're at. I mean, they, between Burrow and Chase, they pretty much ended a lot of fantasy matchups, I think, right out of the gate on Thursday for how prolific they were offensively. For how the bottom of this AFC is turning out to be right now, I mean, the Bengals still have a chance to get into the playoffs and potentially being a team that nobody's really going to want to see or play, because when they start dialing up things offensively, you know, that's a scary team in the playoffs. And now, you know, the Jets obviously have faltered. I think Aaron and I wrote them off a couple weeks ago. I'm quitting for remembering. It's always been Aaron Rodgers in this ray of hope, but after this week, they're officially done. But then, you know, you look at the rest of the divisions right now, what they're, I mean, the Bills at 8-2, and then after that, they got the 3-6 Dolphins. AFC North, above the Bengals, you have the Steelers and Ravens both at 7-3. You got a Texans team at 6-4 and a Chiefs team 9-0 and Chargers at 6-3. There's still a playoff spot there in the bottom for a team that's now under 500. So there's a lot of destiny in a lot of these teams' hands, you know, specifically potentially the Bengals being that team. The Dolphins maybe throwing their hat in the mix here right now with this win here today. So the bottom of the NFC, or I'm sorry, the AFC is very interesting for the seventh seed, because teams that are 3-6, 4-6 right now, you know, have their own, have it in front of them to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's possible we could see a 9-8 team on the AFC side. And I didn't think that was it earlier in the season. Aaron, did you any big losses that kind of stuck out in your mind from this past week?
And there's a ton of losses that stood out this week, man. You guys mentioned the Bengals.
Yeah,
that was a big loss.
Big loss.
Huge game Sunday night against the LA Chargers coming up. Bengals must win for them. You know, talking about, you know, Chargers look like they're locked in right now at that sixth seed. They're not going to win that division, so they know they're going to go through the wild card, but how far up they move, that's a big question. Bengals are the big loss. The Jets, yeah, they're done. Officially get rid of them, throw them off your table. Broncos, talking about a team at that seventh spot, with that loss, they dropped to 5-5. Could have went to 6-4 of that win. Had that game in the bag, pretty much in the lead the whole game against Kansas City. Easy field goal, typically, which basically same distance as an extra point. That gets blocked.
Let's talk about that real game real quick, though, because I didn't like how they were saving for the last field goal. I'm like, why don't we just still try to get a touchdown here? Like, haven't we seen enough of these missed field goals or, like, these pressure moments, like not going for two? Why not still try to get a touchdown? Like, Bo Nix was throwing the ball pretty decent that day.
I just don't think they had the time. I didn't really watch much of that game.
Oh, they milked the shit out of the last 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was... the whole motto is, right, you don't want Mahomes to have the ball last.
You don't.
He beats everybody.
Yeah.
So I like the game plan that they did. They converted a couple third downs on that drive, got into field goal range. I mean, how many blocked field goals have we had this year?
I don't know, actually.
Two, three, just a handful. I mean, what's the last field goal? I mean, I think the Chiefs might be the last team going back 2 years ago against the Tennessee Titans to block a field goal at the end of the game to win back when Tannehill and the Titans were relevant. We're going to go back that far in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, it seems on the surface, when you talk about milking the clock, you talk about it's not the right thing to do. But when you think the overall probability of the success rate of kickers in the NFL right now, I mean, pretty much once the ball's past midfield, these guys are pretty much in field goal range in for two-thirds of the league. So, you know, something that's a chip shot like that is at probably a 99% clip. So you're playing with the percentages. And if you continue to be somewhat aggressive, you're really potentially taking that probability down if you're going by the math of things. So I get what you're saying, Rome, but I think overall you don't want Mahomes to have the ball back, you know, even though he hasn't looked great offensively all year, but there's always some magic, you know, out of nowhere somewhere that he can find. So it's probably the right move right now when, you know, we bleed this thing all the down, you know, we get to a reasonable, should have been a chip shot. The odds of that getting blocked or missed are very minuscule where you think that wins in the bag.
Yeah. What other losses, guys?
For me, I'm looking at, like I said, I had a lot on the list. Atlanta Falcons. That's a bad loss against New Orleans. Yeah. Dennis Allen's gone, and all of a sudden New Orleans looks good. That was a good coaching fire.
I did ask on Thursday, like, what's the record of, you know, when you fire a coach, teams feel alive, right, the next time.
I think I told you New Orleans was a sneaky team to win. I mean,
I like that.
That just makes the Jets firing Robert Saleh just look so much more stupid. That team has gotten so much worse. They were one game out, like Jason and I had mentioned, going into that Monday night game against Buffalo. I think they would have beat Buffalo if Saleh had been on the sideline. That game came down to the wire.
Yeah.
Now you're 3-7, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers, as you can watch, you know, the final month and a half of him playing, his career will be over, it looks like.
So crazy. So it was good that the Falcons lost, though, because I've been, like, a big fan of the Bucks. Baker Mayfield, a big fan of his. The Bucks are a good team. Tough loss, but that kind of helped them at least stay relevant and not out of the playoff picture yet, because they're on a pretty bad losing streak right now. But they stayed in there. They probably should have beat the Niners.
I don't know if you guys got early up for the London game. I will say I watched this entire game. Bad loss for the Giants. I mean, it was a terrible game. We send our finest games overseas between two and seven teams at the time. But, you know, was it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Rome was trying to sell us Aaron on Daniel Jones is good, or this Giants team is good. And now we're sitting.
Me and Aaron were both saying that they might be better than what we thought. And then shortly after, 2 weeks after, we're like, you know, we're done. We're not going to do it.
Well, I mean, Danny Dimes got himself a new nickname, Danny Euros. So he might as well just left him over there, because he's not worth the exchange rate that he's getting paid for sure in New York.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a bad loss for what this Giants team should be doing against a Panthers team that basically didn't have any wide receivers. They had Thielen on the IL. They traded away two other guys. They had three rookies at wide receivers. Bryce Young, his second start since coming back from the benching. He looked pretty solid in the first half as far as distributing the ball over there. We talk about all the time these overseas games tend to see not to see a lot of offense, but should have been a game the Giants should won. And now you're sitting here at 2-8. You know, they're lined up to potentially get the first overall pick at this point. So now, you know, I saw all over TV today, we're already talking about which of these teams for Shedeur Sanders and potentially Deion going. So you got the Giants maybe in the mix. You got the Cowboys, which to me is more likely if you're going to talk about a Deion Shedeur team up in the NFL. But
most definitely.
I thought that was a pretty bad loss, but I think the Panthers are definitely showing something, you know, this year for a team that doesn't have a ton of talent. They're really young, but they're getting better, and they're fighting in some of these games and making the most of it.
Oh, that's kind of good. I didn't really think of that as like a crazy big loss. You know, their season's already done, but I can totally see it where you're coming from. Good thing, though, I think I was talking to Aaron about this. Giants have an opportunity to get away from Danny Dimes after this year, because I think after this, like, that contract's basically voidable. So I think they're looking forward to that. Big loss, man. I guess it's unavoidable.
I didn't want to bring it
we'll
up.
We'll do a 30-minute segment, but we'll briefly talk. I mentioned that, you know, this is a game that I was going to stay away, but the Pats came to play 19-3 over Jason's Chicago Bears, but they came out playing like Cubs because they didn't show up. A couple of things from that game, because I was watching it. So everyone's already jumping on like the bandwagon for the Patriots' new quarterback, Drake May. I'm kind of in favor of that as well, but we were on, you know, Mac Jones balls as well a couple years ago. So who knows, you know, just a little too early to tell. But one thing from the game that I noticed, Chicago just didn't look like they had much of an offensive game plan. at all throughout the whole thing. Their O-line is terrible. Caleb looked like he just kind of he's overthinking things, held on to the ball a lot. He got sacked, what, 8 or 9 times? It's kind of he had that same issue with USC this past year, and it kind of seems like he's second-guessing himself. Didn't look really happy on the sidelines. And I don't know, man. Obviously, I sent Jason a whole bunch of meme clips on Instagram. The Bears fans are loud now. They are loud. And they're like, fire Eberflus, fire everyone, take away the game plan from their OC, which might happen. I don't know. I thought we were going to get some news today, but nothing has been announced yet. So some changes are going to be coming to the Bears. But looked like that Hail Mary was like the Hail Mary of death from a couple weeks ago from the Commanders. And they have not looked the same since the bye week.
No, not even close since the bye week. You know, last 3 weeks, their last in points per game, yards per play, third down conversion, number of sacks, completion percentage, first downs in a game, all last offensively. So for the Patriots, like, say what you want about Drake May, it was a solid game, but they put up 19 points. So yeah. The Bears have the Arizona game was the only game that the defense pretty much gave up more than 21 points. And so the defense has done their part all year. And that's the positive you can say for the Eberflus era right now, at least this year, is the defense is good. But the offense has regressed, and it's not even close. And you mentioned the game plan offensively in the scheme. I talked about this with Shane Waldron, you know, early on in the year, and then it got a little better, but even more so, like, there is no concept schematically of what's going on in this offense. It feels just like when I was 13 years old playing Madden and I'm just calling random plays. Like, I am just going through and just picking a play. There's nothing that is translating, you know, down to down. It's setting things up in the future. Like, there's none of that. And I think you saw a lot of experts, you know, I saw, you know, Dan Orlovsky on ESPN and other people talking about, like, yeah, there's no plan or scheme to go offensively. And that's what Bears fans are picking up. And the culture of the Chicago Bears is to ruin offensive players. Quarterbacks, they've ruined. Wide receivers, they have ruined. And what was supposed to be different out of this era was that, hey, for the first time, we're getting a consensus number one overall pick. And the general manager, for the first time in their history, hey, did his job to surround himself or just around the quarterback with all the tools necessary, you know, weapons offensively from a skill player perspective. But the question surrounding it, and Rome, you put Eberflus, I think, in your hot seat at a certain point. I can't remember at what point this year, but even the warnings at the beginning of the year, as much as we were, me specifically, probably with a blind eye, excited about this season, there was always that risk of they're doing the cycle we talked about of having a lame duck head coach with this quarterback and an offensive coordinator that questionably was, you know, being brought in by a lame duck head coach. The offensive coordinator from last year for the Bears, Luke Getsy, has already been fired by the Raiders.
Yeah.
And so now you bring in another guy who's the offense is technically worse than it was last year with Waldron.
With more weapons.
With more weapons. And
with
so
more weapons. And
I'm glad you brought up about Caleb, because I didn't watch every Caleb Williams USC game, but the one game that sticks in my mouth that I watched was the Notre Dame USC game. And his probably worst college performance, which was the game that has been my mind as a Bears fan that I watched. I'm like, man, that was rough. That was not a guy that I thought would be the first overall quarterback. And at that point, hey, wasn't excited. But in that game, in that whole time at USC, he's trying to do too much. And now he's doing that again here, where it's trying to do enough or knows he's not going to get anything. You mentioned the offensive line. Both tackles were out. I think Tevin Jenkins got hurt in the middle of the game. So 4 out of the 5 offensive linemen were backups. Okay, that's a problem. But you get all week to know that, hey, your two tackles are out. What are you going to do with it? Well, they ran a bunch of the ball a bunch outside. That's what I saw in that game. So apparently that was a weakness for the Patriots, but it's also where your weakness is because you have your backup tackles. We're not running up the middle. We're not switching things out. The wide receivers look like they give up at this point when they're going out there. So I don't think Caleb's blameless in the entire conversation. There's definitely throws that he
even
missed.
Even the ambulance knows to come get the Bears, man. Oh, my come God. To get Jason like, right now, man.
Come and get me. So at this point, yeah, you mentioned and the Bears embarrassed themselves all day today too. You mentioned the change. The change never came. They were waiting for the Chicago media was waiting for it all day. You had Eberflus giving a terrible interview on a local radio station.
It was bad.
His phone cut out three times, and you know the host had a pretty good jab in there about his phone service. His offense is worse than his phone service was dropping. I think you had Jalen Johnson, you had DJ Moore doing their local radio hits that were not inspiring. It is also the team's lost, and they're going to go up against the hardest schedule in the second half. They could literally potentially lose out if I'm going to be overly dramatic about it. And the Bears have no one to blame for themselves, and it's an organizational rot where I think organizationally they're a failure. And I'm hoping for Caleb's sake, because I do think he is the best that the Bears have ever drafted. They can't fail him, and they need to make sure that decisions are made here going forward where we're setting him up for success. This season is probably lost, but you got to do something internally that is, whether replacing Waldron, if there's somebody on staff that can be better from a schematic and a play-calling ability. But Eberflus was kept on because of his leadership during tough times. Well, it's been all tough times in 3 years. So I need someone who's going to be good when there's some good times around.
Yeah. Well, supposedly he still has like a pretty good, you know, connection with a big portion of the roster. So, you know, obviously the defense is really good, but the O-line sucks. I think you know what? We're just beating a dead horse now. They should have changed the coach, but this is definitely a structural thing for Chicago.
Because are they still going to change out the coach? Because obviously last week they said that Eberflus was safe this year going into next year as well.
I don't know. But one thing they do need, they definitely need to address the OC. That's an Eberflus problem, right? Him not addressing it sooner, especially in the bye week. That's the Eberflus problem. You guys mentioned them coming out flat in the Hail Mary. That's enough to fire him. But all these other issues, combination of Eberflus and the GM there. And then plus now there's stories. Someone did an article that they don't want to hire a coach with like too big of an aura because they don't want it to be bigger than the Bears brand name. And that's kind of bullshit. Like if you don't want to hire like the best available, even if they have a big brand, because you're afraid of it overshadowing the Chicago Bears brand, that sounds kind of fishy to me. So for Jason's sake, because I did, root for, you know, I'm rooting for the Bears, and they have a really cool jersey, you know, cool colors. I was rooting for them when Cutler was on the team. When the league was on TV, it was a fun time. They got so close. For their sake, I hope they just clean house and just start all over and put the bright pieces to develop Caleb, because he's still raw. He showed a lot of these issues in college, and he's a prototypical quarterback. He's big, lean, strong arm. He's fast. He's mobile. He's smart. He's not an idiot. He's overthinking now, and now he looks like he's like, you know, freezing mid-game on a lot of these drives. Aaron, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jason said it. I mean, this offense hasn't done anything to make anything simple for Caleb. No easy plays. I know me and Jason have talked about it back early in the year where they kept trying to run these outside zone, outside tackles, like running between your guards and tackles. That was what the strength of the Bears team was, where they were getting some good runs going there when they're on that three-game winning streak. But, yeah, I mean, they need to make a change at OC. Shane Waldron's not working out right now. They need to spark something going.
They should have fired him 2 weeks ago.
Caleb, like Jason mentioned, the Notre Dame game, he was playing improv, trying to do too much. I think he threw like 3-4 picks in that game, got sacked a lot. You know, every time I looked up, the Bears were 3rd-and-16, 3rd-and-15. Never any short 3rd-and-2 where they could do a play action, they could do a run. You know, they're not throwing the ball to the tight end. You know, they're not getting no deep balls going. Right now, the offense is a mess there in Chicago. You know, watching football this weekend, watching Florida State, I thought that was the worst offense in all of football. And I saw the Bears play on Sunday, and I said, that's even worse.
You're going to do 3 like that?
Might be my only shot to get in with it.
You're cold-blooded, Maren. You're cold-blooded.
You take all the shots because they deserve it. I mean, you literally had shots outside Soldier Field of fans leaving in like the third quarter, like massive amount of people walking out, and the, you know, they're shocked they were booing the offense in the first quarter. Well, you've done nothing, and the offense is worse than it was a year ago against Justin Fields. And you meant the accountability for the offensive coordinator. That's Eberflus's hire. He hired Getsky last year, and he hired Waldron when there was other options out there. There was Kingsbury that was out there that had ties to Williams. You had Kubiak out there who we praised early on in the season. So there were other options, but lame duck coach, who's going to want to join him? And then you mentioned the Bears ownership. Like, yes, they're going to overthink this, and they're going to consult somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, because they brought in like over the hill football decision makers to help out before. And the Eberflus, I brought this up last week, but it's over hat. Like, Eberflus was a finalist before the GM was hired. They narrowed the search down to three people, and then the GM was hired, and then say, right, hey, these are the three you get to pick from. So it wasn't even the broad search. They were to see who's going to lead this team going forward. So I still have outside hope for Poles, but overall, like, they got to allow him to make the move and this be his hire and figure out who he's going to pair with Caleb Williams, because this is what you've invested, and now you've wasted a year, which was the fear all along, and you have to bring the right hire in for head coach. And if they – I don't even want to know what happens if they don't fire Eberflus. I don't even want to know, because if that came to truth, because he's got a five-year contract or whatever stuff they're trying to pump in the media, like, he cannot come back. He looks lost. You said he may have some ties in the locker room. Maybe it's the defense. I don't know what it is, because it's definitely not the team as a whole, because it is not a cohesive unit when you hear these guys talk.
It might be his beard, man. I don't know. He looks a little more believable with that beard. I think it's saving his job right now. So that's probably the best move he did season.
I will be the first to say the beard, man, this is a changed guy. Man, he's got an aura around him. He's got a thing. But I had a friend of mine doesn't watch the Bears as closely as I do, and I watched the Hard Knocks, and he said he tuned into one episode of Hard Knocks and said, this guy's not a leader, Jay. You just tell. He's just not a leader. Yeah. He's like, I don't watch any of the Bears. I don't want him. I watch one episode of Hard Knocks. This guy's not a head coach. He's not a leader. And there's not much I can, dispute on that account. And, this is they had Harbaugh in waiting. Former Bears quarterback last year in Michigan. Could have went there. You see what he's doing with the Chargers now. I've long said, Ben Johnson needs to be the choice. But there were options last year for the Bears. They chose to take the status quo, and now they're paying for that. And it could be a detrimental point to the franchise if they don't make a move and make the right hire in the offseason.
Yeah. Any last things you want to add, or is it okay if we move on, guys?
I'm sure they'll lose again next week, and we can talk about it again. So it's Packers week. So it's
coming off a bye, the Packers.
Yeah.
So we covered big losses, big wins. We kind of briefly talked about the beginning, though, Lions over the Texans. I believe that was my Super Bowl preview pick, right?
Maybe. I didn't go back.
It was kind of an ugly game, but five interceptions, and they still come back to win. This fucking Lions team is really fucking good. But on the broadcast, they showed this stat. I think it's pretty alarming. I'm not sure. I know they made a trade to shore up that defensive side, but without Hutchinson, they just don't have the same success, the same pressure on the opposing quarterback.
I think they're
so it's pretty sack, bad.
Sack percentage is cut in half or something
like
that.
Yeah, it used
to
be like a 55% average, I think, of like them pressuring the other side of the ball, and now it's dropped down to like the 30-something. So outside of that, though, the fact that they can overcome a Goff game, he finally had a bad one, and who doesn't, right? But he still had the balls to drive him down the field, and man, those field goal kicks were clutch, man. This is the weekend of field goal kicking for sure. That was a really big win.
Another big win, I would say, it wasn't impressive by all means, but it's a survival win, was the Vikings win over the Jags. I mean, it was,
dude, what happened that game?
It was rough.
Such a battle?
I'm not sure, Aaron, you correct me. I don't know if it was ever on the Red Zone channel. Like, I just think it was completely bypassed because the game never was in the Red Zone.
Right, but right as the Vikings got to the Red Zone, Darnold's throwing a pick right there. So there's no reason to go to any highlight. They basically put on rewind every time the Vikings got in the Red Zone that was going on.
Yeah, and I'll say it wasn't impressive, but I think it's one of those, hey, we got the W. We got out of Jacksonville with it. We're 7-2 right now, keeping pace. You know, I was
They were so happy to get out of there with a win.
Oh, 100%. I ran into a friend of mine yesterday morning before the 10 o'clock game started, huge Vikings fan, and he is not sold on Darnold at all. He is just like, he's going to come out today and throw like this, you know, he's going to have a big game, yada, 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 and everyone's going to buy into him, and then he's going to be crap the rest of the year. Well, he got the win. He was impressive as all. I think there's a lot of question marks there, but, you know, they're putting themselves at 7-2. They're pretty much a lock here for the playoffs at this point, you know, because they got tons of winnable games down the stretch. They play two against the Bears. They got this week against the Titans. So, you know, they can get to 10-11 wins pretty easily here at this point. That kind of locks them in with that 7-2 record.
Yeah, those five interceptions that game, two from Mac Jones, three from Darnold.
I think they couldn't, man. They were like
the Rams tonight. They just couldn't get it in. You know, they just kept on getting stuck in the red zone, third base, and kicking field goals. That was definitely I don't know what that was. For all the great games there was definitely some stinkers this weekend. Bills look great.
That was the next game I was going to bring up was the Bills. The Bills looking good, and at 8-2 right now, I think, you know, we've talked about us kind of questioning where they're going to be this year, but Josh Allen has really taken a step, and he's made, you know, all the new guys they brought in, you know, elevating them to another level where, you know, you go into a game this week against the Chiefs, Rome, you might happen this week. They could be the team that beats the Chiefs finally, you know, coming up here. So a little bit of a stretch for the Bills coming up, but at 8-2, they got this division pretty much on lock, and, you know, they're going to be probably the, you know, could potentially be the one seed if they can get by the Chiefs and the Chiefs going a little bit, but, you know, they have some fate in their hands, and the Bills have looked really good.
I don't know if this ever happened when, like, the Pats were dominating, but I don't remember a team having, what is this, like a 4-game lead now, basically 5 games in their own division.
Well, they got a 3-game lead, right, over the Chargers. Chiefs 9-0, Chargers 6-3. So 3-game lead.
No, Bills.
The Chiefs or the Bills?
Oh, Bills.
Bills, yeah. 8-2 over everybody else. Oh, everyone probably got 6-7 losses.
That had to have happened in the Patriots
early,
era.
This early in the year?
Because maybe. Even when the Pats were dominating, like the Jets were, they had a couple good years, you know, in between then.
I mean to have a 5-game lead week 10, that seems like a stretch. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. Big win though. You know what, this weekend though, by the way, guys, was just interception weekend, because Josh Allen, great game, but he had 2 interceptions. Joe Flacco had 3. This was just interception filled weekend. I don't think I remember a weekend where all the top quarterbacks had this many interceptions. Pretty wild. Now that I'm just, it just finally clicked right now.
It is interesting. I haven't seen any stats on it lately, but I know we talked about the first couple of weeks where how bad offensive was down overall, and then the amount of turnovers. Like, defenses have very much adapted to, you know, what offenses are at. Because you look at a high-flying offense like the Dolphins, where they were putting up, like, insane numbers last year, and now, you know, can barely move the ball up and down the field to get 23 points against the Rams tonight.
They came in the lowest scoring offense, 15.5 points per game.
Who?
The Dolphins did, coming into this game against the Rams. Lowest scoring offense in the league at 15.5 points per game.
Jesus Christ. I personally like the revival defense. I'm a big defensive guy. I like the running back position. That's my favorite position besides linebacker and all of football. So I'm digging the revival of these two things this year. I'm not hating it. So, other big wins.
Big wins, man. Rome, I don't know how you haven't got to it yet. Steelers, that was the biggest win of the weekend for me.
Oh man, that was a good game.
Steelers going into Washington, beating the Commanders. What a battle that was! Back and forth. Seemed like the Steelers wanted to give that game away.
They did.
Had the fake punt on early in the first quarter. Was a great call, and the guy just butterfingers, lets it go. Man, you know, got to lay off that Halloween candy. You know. And then fumble inside the one. I mean, it was like, wow, Pittsburgh looks like they're ready to put this game away, and just left Washington hanging around. And then literally, like we said, that 4th and long, stopping Zach Ertz, you know, 6-12 inches away from converting that first down and keeping that drive going. The Commanders could have had a chance to get that field goal at the end. Steelers biggest win of the weekend for me.
Oh, dude, that was nice, dude. That was nice. And that Russell Wilson seemed like he had so much time. Like, he extended that play for so long, and that's nothing drawn up. That's just like knowing what Mike Williams does. The ball was perfectly placed. Two tippy toes inside. Oh man, that's so great. I fucking love that pickup. For as much as like the offense has sucked for Pittsburgh for so many years, even like the tail end of like Roethlisberger, to see it finally turn around. I don't know, man. Like Russell Wilson, he was dancing all cringeworthy at the end of the game. Like,
nah, man, give a lot of credit to Russell Wilson, man. I mean, I know we all questioned, you know, Tomlin making that move when they were 4-2.
He didn't have a great game, but he had some big
throws. I thought Wilson had a good game. I thought he had a good game. He's looked really good these last 3 weeks.
Pickens, he's a beast, dude.
I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that I don't know how many games Russell's played, 3 or 4. But
this was his third.
Yeah. Through 3 games, he already has the most touchdown passes since Ben Roethlisberger retired in a season.
Do you have that stat? Is that what it is?
I saw it on X somewhere.
Send it to me, please. Right, I really want to see it from my eyes.
I will try to find it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, 3 touchdowns, bad interception, but the way you guys talked about it, at least it gives the Steelers, you know, those 50-50 balls, and you know that wasn't going to happen. You know, as much as I like.
Yeah, well, Fields, he just didn't have a vertical passing game.
He doesn't.
Now with Wilson, he's playing like he did in Seattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's big, man.
Mister.
Give Arthur Smith a ton of credit, too, man, the OC. I thought the Atlanta Falcons should have never moved off him as a head coach. He never had any quarterback. Every year was 7-10, 8-9. You could have given him Kirk Cousins to this offense. Now you got Russell Wilson's, Pickett, all these guys, and dare I say it, the Steelers are a Super Bowl legit team. They are. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm on it. I'm on mark it down, Rome. Not only that, they're going to beat the Ravens this weekend, too. I'm calling that upset right now, too.
I'm looking good on them hitting their over. I'm bringing all the stats, guys. I got all the records of the, you know, over and unders from the beginning of the season.
There's a wise guy once told me there's 3 things guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and Tomlin finishing over 500. Those are facts, man. Those are facts.
Hey, Jason, you know, what if Eberflus is like Tomlin and he finally finds like the right offensive coordinator? It could all turn around. He's not. No. I'm just playing, dude.
Tomlin was great. Tomlin was great in year one. Aaron and I in college. Tomlin was D coordinator for the Vikings, and when he was brought in, like I knew Tomlin. The guy at that moment.
No nonsense.
I love Tomlin. I always just hear there's some rumblings because he hasn't won big in the playoffs, but to me, like, he has stability and culture. He knows exactly the guys he wants to bring into the team, and yeah, they haven't found the quarterback, but this is still a team that he finds a way to get to 9-8. You know, I'm wasting my Sundays every week watching Bears games for my entire life. But, you know, as some of the games that I look forward to that are not terrible Bears games are the Steelers-Ravens games every year, because it didn't matter, like, who or what they are from both teams. Like, it is a brawl up and down. They have 2 of the best coaches in the league that have, like, the best or run organizations in the league. You know these guys are going to play. It's going to be a defensive battle, run battle. You know, every yard is going to matter. Like, I love Steeler Ravens game, so I'm looking forward to this week too. And I think in the post game press conference or something Tomlin did, someone asked him about like the comparisons between Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson, and you know, Tomlin immediately was like, whoa, like, that's a 2-time MVP, you know, Lamar Jackson. That's Mr. Jackson or something he talked about like that. So the respect between those organizations and stuff, I think, is at another level too for what, you know, they bring to the table every year.
I don't think Jackson has gotten like the amount, like enough credit for how good of a quarterback he is. But I feel like now he's getting it. You know, he's dominating again. He'll probably get another MVP possibly, right? Who knows? But
to him, it's just the postseason. Like, he needs to have
postseason. Yeah,
he needs to have the run in the postseason, and it's somewhat dumb. You know, we're always going to put these guys in like, oh, you got to do it in the postseason. You got to win a Super Bowl. You're not great. Yeah, I mean,
you know, Manning took forever to finally break through. You know, his brother broke through, you know, so much quicker. Peyton Manning, he had the same issues.
Which is sometimes why the argument's such BS. Because okay, like. you talk about Peyton Manning, two-time Super Bowl champion, but no one forgets he had the 9-touchdown, 17-interception season. His second Super Bowl title with the Broncos, where he wasn't nearly as effective as he was during his prime in the Colts.
He wasn't very good.
You know, Super Bowl championships are anointed to quarterbacks, and that's how we judge them a lot of times. But like, you need other things around you. I think the Ravens have that. It'll just going to be what Lamar can do in the postseason. Unfortunately, he's had basically a dynasty to go through, kind of entire prime here right now with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson, I'd have to look up. But in the postseason, he's lost to Phillip Rivers, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes. Those are three quarterbacks that have beaten him. Then one year he wasn't playing, and then that's the year the Bengals went on to the Super Bowl. He might have lost another game in the playoffs to somebody else, but those are three quarterbacks that are going to be Hall of Famers.
All Hall of Famers. Yeah.
Like Jackson himself will be a Hall of Famer.
He will.
And, last year, if Zay Flowers doesn't fumble up the goal line, we're probably saying that game goes overtime. Who knows what happens?
Who knows what happens?
A lot, like Jason said, can happen. It's just not all the quarterback. Jackson hasn't played great in these games, but he hasn't also done a lot that, five picks or anything stupid that would cost himself team a game.
To go back to the Steelers, man. I'm always up with my team. I always give them the benefit of the doubt, but I did not see 7-2 right now. I did not see it happening. I'm fucking happy, ecstatic. Real quick though, just want to thank the Eagles for putting the nail in the coffin on the Cowboys season. That was really great. My favorite highlight from that game was when CeeDee Lamb was wide open, jetting across the back of the end zone, and the ball was right there, and he doesn't even see it because that fucking billion-dollar stadium just blindsides.
I think the quote of Sunday was Jerry Jones saying, why don't we just tear down the whole damn stadium and build a new one?
All that money, they couldn't factor that stuff in. It's just great, man. I Cowboys deserve all of this and so much more. I'm really loving it. There's nothing better than seeing the Cowboys lose.
There isn't. I think it's just
there really isn't. Is it?
There really isn't. It's the team that you just live to root against. I think obviously the Yankees get that. I think the Lakers or maybe the Celtics get that in basketball. But I don't think anything beats the Cowboys because of the arrogance and
I love it.
I think it's the most valuable franchise in all of sports, like worldwide, is the Cowboys for what they're at, and they haven't done. They haven't won in, 30 years at this point?
I don't remember the championships, because I think,
I don't think they've been to an NFC championship game in 30 years.
Not since we were kids.
All
in the
their
90s.
Super Bowls, yeah. All their Super Bowls, we were elementary kids.
Yeah, we're barely getting to
1995, the Barry Switzer year, which was, stories to itself as far as the dysfunction that that team had during that time, too. But, it's for our adult lives or most of our lives, this team has been irrelevant in the, but they still have, you give it to Jerry that it's a brand recognition, which is all the more why I think it got put into the mainstream by Stephen A today, but all the more why,
sick of Stephen A.
Well, he brought it up, and I've said it in other, maybe not on the pod, but I've said it to other friends. Like, I think Dion's going to the pros, and I think the Cowboys make a lot of sense if they decide to move on from Dak and they get Shador. And it won't be about winning. It'll just be a circus because you'll have Dion with Jerry, and, it'll be a whole, it'll be the whole three-ring circus as far as, what's going on, because all the press conferences will be entertaining. Everything's going to be on. There's going to be a lot of talk. And they won't win, but it's going to be fun.
You brought it up about 3-4 weeks ago, and I bookmarked it just in case. I'll try to pull it up, but you did mention it. I was thinking, that's kind of bullshit, but I guess so. It stuck in my mind. And then when I did hear about that today with Stephen A. Smith, I'm like, dude, we talked about this weeks ago. That's crazy. Now that's a thing.
Well, you got to assume that Dallas is going to get the last pick. They got, three wins? There's a lot of teams right now of two. You got the Giants.
Prescott's out for the year.
I think Dion, if he does make the leap to the pros, Cowboys seem like a hot choice. I actually think it's the Vegas Raiders. That makes the most sense. Vegas, Shadir Sanders. They got two wins. Antonio Pierce is done, man. You get Shadir Sanders and Deion Sanders in Vegas? That right there, talking about rock star stories in Vegas, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's not a good hire.
The Cowboys make the most sense.
You just don't hire interim coaches.
Yeah,
now
but
I believe it.
Aaron's right, though. I mean, that's another organization that's going to make us. If Al Davis was alive, hey, it would have been the splashy hire that we're going to be entertaining and stuff like too. So I buy Vegas as well too. Huh. I think those would be the two teams. I wouldn't say Giants because I think the Giants got kind of the blue blood, old school owner with the Mara family. I think Belichick has been like the long person that I continue to say there because he has ties to that organization. And they potentially would give him total control, which he's going to be wanting, which is why I never thought the Belichick to Cowboys things make sense because Bill wants total control, where Deion won't care about total control. He's just going to care about, you know, getting some input on who he can bring in. And we know it's Shador, and if they can trade their entire draft stock to maybe get Travis Hunter so they can bring everyone in, who knows?
I do like the Belichick to the Giants, but I think Dable's safe. I think he stays on. But Belichick does have a lot of respect for the Giants, and he hates the Jets. It's like making rounds on social media, but I don't think he comes back to coaching, man. He's having a great time. He's dating a 24-year-old. He's funny on TV. All these former coaches from last year that just took off, man. I don't think we've ever seen like a renaissance. It's like the rookie class, right, for like broadcasting. It's been all these old guys have been on fire on media, man. Fuck. Anything else? I do have a new top eight if you guys want to hear it.
Oh, the top Please. Eight. We got to go.
Please, yeah.
We didn't do it last week. So I didn't even bother.
Any special music for the top eight or anything like that? You know,
jazz music in the background.
We do need to get
something.
Some music, man.
We did see you with your Modelo. So I guess it's like when you finish that off, does the top eight list come out or what? You know,
that's a good point. You know what? Modelo's not my favorite beer. We got to find a beer for us. But what kind of beers do you guys like? I'm a Coors Light, you know, Miller Light guy.
You like that Ultra, man. You like the Michelob Ultra.
I do,
man.
Like the Michelob
Summertime
Ultra. Summertime
is a good beer.
You're giving away a lot of free advertising right now, just saying, listing all these beers.
You know, I know somebody like musicians. I'm just going to hit someone up, you know, try to get some music done. And my friend owns a brewery. I got to follow up and see if he can make a beer for us. We'll do like our source of stuff, a beer, sell it in the stores, you know, in a Safeway. I could probably get it in a Safeway, compete with Colin Coward's beer on the shelves. See how it goes. My new Power Eight. Now I was kind of iffy, man, on this list. It can go. I'm kind of weird about the top. I'm kind of weird about the bottom. But I will start from number eight. Goes to the Houston Texans. I know they're 6-4 right now. Some people are starting to jump off. I still believe in them. They're a good team, gritty team. Tough loss, but I still think they're one of the better teams. They're at number eight. Number seven, I got to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. They've been flying high. I'm liking Barkley on that team. They look solid. The question mark there is their coach and, you know, whatever he got's going on. The guy's kind of fucking weird. And I've been listening to a lot of podcasts now, post-game interviews. Don't know what the fuck he's on. He's on some type of, like, ADHD drugs. But it's a fun team, though. I would not be mad. We'll see how they move on forward. Number six, I got the Commanders. They're legit, man. That game against the Chicago Bears, tough loss against the Steelers. They gave it their all. Steelers wanted to give that away. But, you know, I like what they got going on. Jaden Daniels is for real. Number five, first time in my power rankings. Hasn't even been on any of them before. Is my Pittsburgh Steelers number five. I'm not trying to be homey or anything like that. I think this is like a fair ranking. You guys can tell me if I'm full of shit. I typically don't like favor my teams at all, but I think they're strong. It's a really convincing win. It was the win against the Commanders of how they showed up. Could have lost it so many ways, but then still came out on top. And, you know, Russell Wilson got some balls flying through the air. Mr. What does he call himself? Mr. Invincible? Mr. Unlimited. Unlimited. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, old stuff.
Is it old? I've never seen it before.
He did it when he was in Seattle, but it's okay. It's on brand with his level
it's
of
fucking terrible
it's corniness
fucking
terrible. That he is.
He's so cheesy, man.
He's got a brand. Hey, no, Rob, I give it to you. You know, you have not put the Steelers in here. If the Bears were 7-2 right now, I'd be lobbying for them to be number one in your power rankings. All right, so let's just say how fair and balanced you are is assessing these teams of who should be in the top eight, because, you know, I would have put the Steelers in here a while back, and I think you held great restraint, and I think it's a good ranking for them.
And, you know, I give the edge to coaching against the Texans, Eagles, and Commanders right now. Number four, they dropped down two rankings for me. They should have lost against the Denver Broncos. It's number four ranked undefeated Chiefs. Broke my heart when that field goal got blocked and everyone's cheering Taylor Swift's on the TV. I'm going to start a new game. Whenever they show Taylor Swift, you got to take a shot. But Chiefs are number four.
Well, you won't, you will not be alive the next morning for the podcast.
We wouldn't be alive, no. Last week, by the way, Belichick was on the Manning cast and they showed Taylor Swift and he just had like the biggest sigh. And like, you could just feel that the rest of America kind of agree. Like, I've never seen so many people like Belichick all of a sudden. He's like, ah.
Come on. They'd... Dude's dating a 24-year-old. You know his girlfriend likes Taylor Swift.
Probably. Number three, the Buffalo Bills. They're good. As long as Josh Allen's at the helm, they're going to be dangerous. Two goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Enough said. And Lions hold on to number one for now. So that's it. Texans 8, Eagles 7, Commanders 6, Steelers 5, Chiefs 4, Bills 3, Ravens 2, the Detroit Lions number 1.
Not a lot of times you're going to have a 5 interception game, win the game, and still be number 1 in the power rankings. So that's how good these Lions are.
Yeah, no, it's hard to overcome 5 interceptions. That's pretty impressive. That's why they're still number 1. Thoughts?
Solid list, man. Solid list.
What would you change?
I'd have the Steelers up higher than 5.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you have, Mass?
3.
3? Shit. Jay?
I don't think I'd change anything there.
No?
No.
Shit. Wow.
I don't think I'd change anything. I mean, I might put the Chiefs number 1 because they're undefeated. And they never lost. Fair. But the rationale for the Lions does make sense. So I think you could see a shift next week with the Bills-Chiefs game on where things are at. You know, maybe you're ranking the Chiefs at least 1 or 2 with being undefeated. But I understand why you're putting them at 3.
Possibly. Cool. Take a quick break. You guys want to talk college football? Or did we talk enough already?
We kind of already did talk college football. Unless you got anything else to add. We talked upsets.
I got nothing. I haven't even taken a look at the new rankings, so.
They come out tomorrow. The new college football playoff rankings.
Anything changed on the AP?
Well, obviously Georgia. I mean, I did see Indiana got into the top 5.
Yeah, Indiana's number 5. They went up 3 spots. You had Georgia drop 9, Miami drop 8, Boise State went down 1, even at 8-1. But I think they're still in. Ole Miss up 6 spots, up to 10.
That was a big win. That was a very big win. I was digging that.
That could be a deciding factor for Ole Miss securing a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, we got big games coming up this week in college football, so we can talk about those on Thursday. But yeah, another big weekend coming up.
Yeah, South Carolina's ranked now.
About time.
Missouri's ranked now. Tulane, I haven't seen any Tulane games, so that them being 8-2 fucking caught me off guard.
That's like when you were caught off guard that Pittsburgh was undefeated.
No, they've lost one back to back.
They have.
I think they lost last week. I know they were losing. It wasn't on my games to watch list, so I didn't keep an eye on it, man.
They did lose again. Yeah, because they dropped out of the top 25.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it then.
Just for the record, every game that's on this list that I gave you guys last Thursday, I did watch at least some version of that game. So
I believe it. That. I've seen his living room setup. I believe it.
Yeah, no, so, I definitely believe it.
Oh, we should get into Rome. We haven't. I don't know if you want to take a break first, but BYU Utah. We did not talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
All right. Treated myself out this weekend. Went to a steakhouse for my birthday. Just bought myself. Had a nice dirty martini, then a Negroni. Got steak frites. It was a spot that I've been wanting to check it out. And then caught the end of college football games at my local bar called The Rec Room. It's an Oregon bar, by the way. And I totally forgot that. I got to go there when there's an Oregon game. But Aaron, take it away, man. BYU escapes Utah, which I didn't think Utah had any business being in this game, but they were manhandling BYU. And what looked like a fix, this looked like a fix if there ever was one. BYU comes out, keeps their playoff hopes alive. Take it away, man.
Well, BYU, regardless, had they lost that game, still would only have one loss in the conference, and then Colorado would still control their fate there in the Big 12. But yeah, Utah starting a quarterback, making his first career start, coming off the bye week. You know, Isaac Wilson, who I thought was going to start, didn't get the start. Zach Wilson's younger brother. That was kind of a shock. I mean, BYU was a 3-point favorite. I didn't think this game was going to be that close given how well BYU had been playing. But Utah jumped on them early. You had was a kickoff return or punt return for BYU? Was their only touchdown till basically late in the game there?
It was a 96-yard kick return in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't doing anything. And then Rome, like you mentioned, that last drive, you know, a couple penalties on Utah. One that's going to be talked about in that state for a while. The AD come out on Saturday after the game. Jason was just mentioning it off the air, taking all the fines. It's going to be a six-figure fine for sure. The Big 12 is not going to mess around. They're not going to want this where your guy comes out and says, hey, I'm going directly right now and calling the commissioner out, saying your conference, your referees suck. It's basically saying we should have never left the Pac-12 is what it sounded like to me.
I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if he's just immediately putting in Utah's withdrawal from the Big 12 after this year. And like, hey, we're going to go to the Pac-12 with Washington State, Oregon State, and what other randoms are recruiting to go to the Pac-12. But yeah, it was a pretty wild press conference that I have complete disregard for how you're going to punish me, because you know and everyone saw you completely screwed us on this out of this game.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have already came out the fine, because I think it came out from the NCAA. Why is NCAA still doing anything? But they really fined, was it LSU in Alabama? Because they were throwing stuff on the field because they stunk. They didn't even show up this week. And then
LSU, Ole Miss, yeah, man.
Ole Miss got fined big time because all the fans started
storming the field,
and there was still 16 seconds left, which how can they just can't run it? Like, what's the point? It's over. Just what's the big deal? Do they really need someone kneeling down to end the game? I don't get it.
Yeah, it is kind of stupid. I mean, I get it. Yeah, it is dumb. I mean, the over-under was already not effective. The spread, the money line, everything was already locked in. All bets were done. So doesn't make much sense. I mean, maybe to officially count some bets. But usually I think a football game, you got to get a minimum of 55 minutes in for a game to be called and bet an action to count. You know, you mentioned LSU. LSU rented a tiger from Florida to basically... That was an insult to Tiger fans all across the state of Louisiana. Just go bring your own tiger out of the cage. Let it roam around. Get it there in the stadium. You know, you don't go rent a tiger from Florida, of all places. And another thing we didn't mention, I saw this. Somebody brought it up. The Dolphins won today, but the state of Florida in college football and the NFL was 0-11. The first time ever no team from Florida had won a football game during the weekend.
Oh, wow.
You had Central Florida, Florida, Florida State, all FAU,
FIU.
Jacksonville, Tampa Bay. All these teams lost. And then Miami comes out and ends that streak here tonight to get the state of Florida a win.
Nice. By the way, I owe you guys an apology. There is a different sports center at 9 o'clock because Nicole Briscoe graced my TV screen, and I'm all smiles.
Yeah. All smiles.
You guys are right. Since we're doing some college football, man, you guys are really up on Georgia, man, for being up on Texas, which I like. And they got beat handily by Ole Miss. So I don't know if you guys are still up on it or if you guys want to send some apologies, or is Texas legit?
Texas overrated, dude.
Overrated? I don't think so.
They're overrated, man. I mean, their toughest game this year is Georgia. They got their ass kicked. Played a terrible Oklahoma team and a terrible Michigan team.
Everyone has a down year. Everyone has a down game.
So like I said, I still got four or five teams better in the SEC than Texas.
So what do you guys think then? Like, just this like a fluke game from Ole Miss. This is the biggest win. They'd never been a top five team with Kiffin. Georgia was what, number two? They dropped down to 11, man.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's lost to Ole Miss and Alabama. Okay, they've lost to two teams. They've lost to two currently top 10 ranked teams so far. Aaron mentioned Texas' schedule if you're trying to get the comparison. You know, they got a bad Michigan team and what, the Oklahoma team you mentioned started that aren't very good in the SEC either. So their basically biggest win has come since then was against Vanderbilt, who just lost. And now it would have been a showdown with Texas A&M, but Texas A&M's loss here this last week doesn't make that as – or was it 2 weeks ago now? Doesn't make that as an interesting game. But I agree with Aaron on this. I think there's better teams in the SEC than Texas. I think Texas isn't a bad team. I just think this is just – there's another level of competition, and I'm not going to be surprised if they get knocked out in the first round of the playoff.
I think Texas is better than Ole Miss.
I'd take Ole Miss over Texas. Ole Miss is a really good team. They laid an egg against Kentucky
early in
the year. And LSU, you know, late drive touchdown there to beat them there at Tiger Stadium.
That was a tough one.
So they've lost a couple tough games, but a tough schedule. But the SEC is not done. You got Georgia, Tennessee this weekend. And Texas, this is going to be their second – probably toughest opponent coming up at Arkansas. Arkansas is coming off a bye.
Who? I don't think for who?
For Texas. In Texas, you know, Arkansas had just beaten, what, Tennessee, what, 3 weeks ago? So Arkansas is going to give them a game. I don't know if they have enough defense to stop that offense, but that's a game to keep an eye on. And I'll let you know how I feel about that one on Thursday.
I'm pretty sure it'll be one of your games.
I mean, there's a game to watch.
There's going to be a lot of intrigue into the SEC championship game because you got, you know, how many teams you got here? Like five or six teams that are either one or two losses inside the SEC right now. So two of these teams are going to have to play an extra game. So you look at an Ole Miss, if they don't make the SEC championship game, okay, cool. I've been saying it all year, the flaw of the current playoff system, because I hate these conference title games, is you're going to get a third ranked, you know, third team in the conference, get the playoff bye, and the first and second teams are going to have to duke it out for the championship game, which technically they're playing for a bye. But in this conference, or how tight it is, does a losing team in the SEC title game get kicked out of the playoff at that point? Because now you're potentially talking, let's say Georgia loses, now they're a three loss team. Hey, maybe the three loss team is getting in the playoffs. You know, what if Bama is up there and they lose? So I don't know. There's a lot that can go into this. The final week of how it plays into, we mentioned Miami at this point, you know, they're probably done out of the ACC, but you know, they could still win the ACC championship game here at a certain point and still be playing in the playoff. And the Big Ten, Indiana, I think, sitting there potentially pretty, you know, they lose this week to Ohio State. They go 11-1, don't have to play in the Big Ten title game. That goes down to Ohio State and Oregon. Ohio State could be a two-loss team that only lost to Oregon twice.
Yeah, I think whoever gets in that Big Ten title game is going to make the playoff. And for Indiana, it's really Indiana and Penn State is that third team in the Big Ten. Indiana's got to ball out and perform against Ohio State. If they play well, they didn't play well against Rome's Michigan team.
No.
That was really their first kind of uptake in competition in the Big Ten. They got off to a good start, struggled, found a way to win.
Michigan's still a tough out.
I mean, Michigan's got a good defense. They got a good defense. They got no offense.
Yeah.
And Indiana came up big and got some stops there. But, yeah, for Indiana, it comes down to how good can you play in Columbus, Ohio? Can you be competitive? Can you show everybody that you are a top 12 team, or really a top 8 team? Because that's really what it's going to come down to if you don't win a conference championship.
I mean, I'm not to dismiss what Aaron's saying, but I think overall there's going to be the politics game in this thing too. And I think when you look at the Big Ten and the SEC, these are the two national conferences. These are the network conferences for the most part, of the SEC with ESPN, ABC. The Big Ten has got the Fox NBC deal. Both of those conferences are getting four teams. The ACC, Big 12 at large, there's one spot up for grabs.
Yeah, I agree. I think one team, Big 12, is looking like either Colorado or BYU, and ACC's right now at SMU and Miami. And then the non-Power 5 team, Boise State, if they win out, given that their only loss would be against the top-ranked Oregon, that's the way it looks.
And so, Notre Dame.
And, yeah, if Notre Dame wins out, they got to win out.
Yep.
I think the Big Ten's only getting three teams in. So, and the SEC, maybe four, maybe five. We'll see.
So, do you think Penn State's out?
If Indiana shows out and plays well, yeah. If Indiana gets blown out by Ohio State, then they'll be out.
Yeah.
Just to me, there's not a lot of intrigue or hype behind Penn State. If you told me Penn State and then Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Texas, Texas A&M, Tennessee, I'd put all those teams over Penn State right now.
Penn State needed that win over Ohio State because James Franklin never wins that game.
Never. Cool. That it?
Unless you want to talk about the NASCAR championship on Sunday. Joey Logano winning his third Monster Energy NASCAR championship.
Didn't even know what's happening.
I'm just here to inform, you know?
I appreciate it. I did listen back to our podcast about F1. I was like, it's like, oh man, I was like really digging it watching the Mexico City one. Now I'm all geared up for next year.
Well, you had Vegas down the road here. It'll be an interesting F1 race coming up in Vegas here in a couple weeks. And then, you know, the back-to-back finale in the desert in the Middle East.
When is it in Vegas?
2 weeks.
It's in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, 2 weeks. Confirm that. Yep, November 21st to the 23rd.
Just before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yep, so plenty of the constructors to be determined there, but the driver's championship's pretty much a wrap.
Hey, guys, are we going to talk about Mike Tyson's fight this Thursday? It's Friday. I just found out it's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday on Netflix.
At 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's wild.
Where is it at? Is it in Dallas?
I think it's at, yeah.
Is that AT&T Stadium?
I think, yes. I just hope the sun's not in anybody's eyes.
I was thinking the same thing. You know, because Grandpa got to go to sleep shortly after that fight. I don't know what to think, man. I'm kind of worried for Tyson.
Let's save that for Thursday, because I just haven't really given it too much thought, unless Jason has something.
He's just so much older. It's like, why are we beating up on old guys?
I saw a commercial for it while I was waiting for Rome to get on. It's about as much preview I saw for it. And so
I know they've been hyping it. I've been seeing a lot of commercials this week. But honestly, yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch it.
There shouldn't be like some ethics committee. You know, just can't be fighting people over 65 or...
It's like I guess 60? It's like a real fight, but like an exposition fight too? Or what is it? I don't know.
It's a real sanctioned fight. I don't know.
I think it's real sanctioned, but...
Nobody wanted to sanction in California and New York, I think, right?
Probably.
We can talk about it. We'll talk more about it, I guess. I don't fucking know.
MLS, Inter-Miami went down this weekend in the MLS playoffs. Messy down.
Are going on?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not up to. Yeah, I guess we're really pro football and basketball.
Pro football.
Huh?
The Cavs are undefeated still.
12-0. Chet Holmgren out.
Out. That's a big loss for the Thunder, but they'll be okay.
They got to win tonight.
You're right. We got to figure out how to like kind of mingle in the NBA stuff. I guess
we really don't.
Like me and Jason said, NBA, college hoops, come March, the feeling's good. We'll be all ready, man. Be loving it.
Basketball doesn't start until football's over. That's just the rule.
Guys are crazy, man.
Right, yeah, because then they have the All-Star break, what, a week later, 2 weeks, and then...
The little tournament starts, man, which...
No one cares.
No one cares.
I'll put it this way, man. I'd rather watch Mike Tyson, Jake Paul than the fucking in-season tournament.
That's ridiculous. That's really crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, Cavs, man. Kenny Atkinson, he's a good coach. I don't know if you saw real quick before we got off the NBA memes. They're going to be going hard on Bronny James, and that's kind of feel bad for him now, but they're saying, like, Bronny James lights it up in the G League. He had 6 turnovers. did I send it to you guys? I sent it to somebody.
I didn't get it.
Oh, man. Can't shoot. Can't dribble. He's athletic. He probably should. He looks like he should be playing football, doesn't it?
Who?
He could be like the number 6 DB on somebody's roster.
Yeah. Probably should have played a different sport, not basketball. That's rough.
He's not an NBA player, that's for sure.
He's not an NBA player. All right, let's just wrap it up then. We'll do NFL lines Thursday. What's the NFL game this Thursday?
Big one. Washington versus Philly. Ooh, it's a big game.
Washington. It is. Damn, tough stretch for Washington, huh? Tough stretch.
Just battling the state of Pennsylvania.
Wait, what?
They played the Steelers. Now they're playing in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. My bad. All right, cool. Catches sources on the sofa on X, on Instagram. I'll be posting some new stuff this week, catching up on some clips. Power rankings will be up as well. And then be sure to check us out on Dub Club. We're posting winners every week for college football and NFL, and posting a couple teasers on X. We'll be back Thursday. It was fun.